This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome in. Good Monday afternoon to you. It's John Dickinson sitting in for Damon Bruce, joined by Alan Stiles. We're sitting in for Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game and with you for the next 4 hours. So good to be with you. Hope everybody's had a wonderful holiday weekend. And if you're dipping around trying to work out the holiday hangover, join us here for the next 4 hours on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to give us a call or shoot us a text on the Xfinity mobile text line. A lot to get into, but Alan Stiles, my man, good to be with you again. Second consecutive day, and
yeah.
We got a few of these.
What luck coming up, JD. I know. I mean, you know, we did all the Warriors talk yesterday, and for the Warriors to come out, and I mean, at least for me, make me feel a little bit better about them. We'll get into all that. So excited to be with you on this. I wouldn't say gloomy, you know, it's a step away from gloomy, but you know, we'll take it. It's the winter. Got to deal with it. I'll deal with it.
Yeah, we really shouldn't complain.
No,
in the Bay Area, we're talking about the 50s,
yes.
And you know, other places. They're talking about negative digits.
Exactly. Exactly.
And snow and all kinds of different. Type of conditions. But yeah, Warriors get a big win against the Grizzlies, and a lot to get into surrounding that. And we'll start off talking about them. Of course, the 49ers beat the Commanders over the weekend. Michael Irvin is going to join us, mm-hmm. coming up at 5 o'clock, as he does each and every week here on this show with Damon and Ratto. So keep it locked here for that at 5. But yeah, let's start with some Warriors basketball, and just the Warriors able to. Hello. You heard that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll push through it. Warriors able to get the win over the Grizzlies, 123-109 mm-hmm. last night at Chase Center. And look, it was a great win for the Warriors. I know we were on before the game yesterday, and it was a little gloomy, the outlook, because we had just got the news that Andrew Wiggins wasn't going to play. Draymond was questionable. He ultimately did play. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, the Warriors clearly wanted that one last night.
Yes.
And they played like they wanted that one last night. They played like they had heard a lot of the chatter as far as the Grizzlies running their mouth.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which they've done leading up to the playoff series. And since they got beat by the Warriors, and the Warriors went on to win the championship and all of that. But a lot of takeaway. The first thing I think to just kind of get into is the tone setters for the Warriors. Draymond ended up playing, mm-hmm. and he and Klay Thompson set a tone based on their demeanor last night. And we can get into the numbers and all of that, and Draymond having a game where he hardly scores but impacts it defensively in a lot of other ways. Klay didn't shoot the ball well, but did everything else pretty well. But to me, the whole tone, though, for the game was Draymond and Klay came out without Steph and without Wiggins, and they set a tone that permeated throughout the rest of the roster that I think held the rest of the roster up to a standard of, hey, tonight's like a playoff game. So we're not going to get punked. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get beat by 20 in our own building on in front of the national audience on Christmas. We're bringing a high-level effort today, and if the Grizzlies don't match it, we're going to win the damn game, and that's exactly what happened.
Right. At the very least, like you said, we're not going to go out like some punks. We're not going to get embarrassed on national TV for the Christmas game. A couple months ago now, that did happen against the Suns. They got dismantled on national TV, and I don't know. I'm assuming they've had one since then, between then and the Celtics, but if they didn't, I mean, after that happened, there is something to be said about, all right, we do understand that there are certain games where we got to turn it on. So it's an interesting feeling, JD, because on one hand, you could sit there and say, all right, we know that the Warriors can turn it on. We know that they still have that switch that they can flip, like we talked about ad nauseum last season, and they ultimately did that. My question is, how many times can they do that, and how close can they get? You know, the old school switches when you can, you know, dim the light and make it as bright as it goes. How bright can they get throughout the season before the playoffs? We know they can do it during the playoffs, but you're going to have to get pretty close to that switch for majority of this season moving forward. If you want to be in a decent position for the playoffs, how many times can they dip into that well this season? That's what I'm not sure about, but it was nice to see that when they feel like turning it on, they can turn it on.
No, and now we'll see, because the one thing we both agreed in talking about this homestand, this can't be a negative homestand. Mm-hmm. If anything, it has to be a positive homestand to make up some of the ground. They began three games under 500. Now at two, you got to win at least five of the eight to make sure you gain ground to be at least one under. If you can win six, obviously you'd be one over at that point. If you know somehow you get seven, you move even farther over, and then you get Steph Curry back at some point shortly thereafter. And then I think that the conversation changes about the Warriors and what the ceiling is. So credit off the top for me goes to Draymond and to Klay Thompson, because and they were enjoying beating Memphis. They were enjoying it. And again, I think that the message was delivered to the others on the team, and this is what gets into the next thing that I wanted to get into, which is obviously the young players all being able to contribute, whether it was James Wiseman, who, you know, I think last night's performance from Wiseman, +8, no shot attempts, 5 boards in 8 minutes with good defense, even though I don't believe he had a block shot in the game. That, to me, was a much more impactful game last night than the game where he scored 30 in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I agreed. And when he did what he did in Brooklyn, I felt like maybe I undersold it a bit. I also just felt as if I wasn't really sure what I was supposed to do with it, right? It's a complete blowout. The game doesn't matter. Everybody's playing loose. I'm not saying he was facing G League competition, because he wasn't, but it didn't really move the needle for me. There were a couple defensive possessions, JD, last night where you saw the promise of James Wiseman. You saw him. He altered shots. He was shadowing guys. He really did change things. And you know how it is with Ja Morant. He gets to that paint at will, and the refs are ready to blow a whistle as soon as he steps in the lane. James Wiseman, there are a couple times last night where he made sure that didn't happen. So I think great on James Wiseman. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in double figures, including Anthony Lamb, Moses Moody, and Ty Jerome. How about the third quarter from Ty Jerome? Who had that on their bingo card? 10 points from Ty Jerome in the third quarter. I know I did it.
Yeah, so, no, he had 8 points at a point, at a moment where it looked like, all right, the Warriors lead is trimmed to 3.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, hey, great effort, but now the more talented team on this night, with the Warriors playing without Steph and Wiggins, has the potential to take the game over.
And like, that Poole was always goes out. On then the board. Poole goes out.
Yeah, that was always on the board. So the young players all contributing, from Wiseman to Kuminga to Moody, all three of them, they were out there together at times. And I thought one of the real bright spots, you know, Jordan Poole did his best Steph in the first quarter. We shouldn't miss that. And, and that's the thing. You can go up and down the line. And there's so I give the credit, you know, first and foremost to the championship guys for setting the tone. I think Poole being Steph at 17 in the first quarter and 32 at the point where he's ejected, that's the kind of game that I think the Warriors believe they can get from Jordan Poole semi-regularly as a player that averages 28 when Steph's not in the lineup. And
exactly.
He's the lead dog, essentially running the Steph portion of the Warriors offense to the best of his capabilities. So you have the three young players playing together, and it's not a net negative at the end of the first quarter there and into the second quarter. And so that was a bright spot and a good sign. And again, they did the little things. They played tough last night. Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman, they played tough. It wasn't about points. It wasn't about shooting. It was about everything else. It was a rugged type of a game for those three, so I give them credit. Dante DiVincenzo, I think, deserves credit. Going for 19 points last night and knocking down five threes. But again, who's going to guard Ja Morant in this context of how the Warriors do things? And you need everybody to help guard Ja Morant, but to put DiVincenzo on him right away... His best skill is ball pressure and somebody that's quick enough to hang and at least not get embarrassed by a guy like Morant repeatedly to where he's completely taken over the game. So DiVincenzo, the two-way guys, as you mentioned, Ty Jerome's little third quarter spurt, 8 points. Anthony Lamb hit 3 three-pointers in the first half. Huge and much needed. And the Warriors end up with one of their really great team wins of the season. And they were enjoying it, whether it was Draymond standing over Ja or Clay standing over Dylan Brooks and all of that. It was just kind of a feel-good night. The fans were eating it up.
Yeah.
And it shows you that the Warriors can still dial it up at home, even shorthanded. The question becomes, can you dial that up consistently over this homestand without Steph and now potentially without Wiggins? Because if we're looking back 2 weeks from now and we're talking about a 4-4, a 3-5, but you beat Memphis, it's not going to mean all that much. Good signs, though.
Yes.
One game in.
Because a couple weeks ago, we thought, all right, this is what's going to get them going when they played the Celtics. And they did this at home and everybody was having a good time. And, you know, you get that home cooking and everyone's enjoying themselves. And then they went on the road and we knew it was going to be a tough road trip and Steph ends up going down. And they couldn't do anything on the road. Now, again, I don't want to get hoodwinked or bamboozled with the Warriors doing this again. The Warriors do seem to play very well on Christmas, by the way, JD. Historically, these last couple years, they do play well on Christmas as well.
Yeah, they won last year. Phoenix was right there with them at the top of the standings. That was really a pivot point.
Yeah,
it was an early pivot point toward the Warriors taking a little bit of a lead on Phoenix. Now, Phoenix ended up catching up, and with all the Warriors' injuries, the Suns ended up with the best record. It obviously didn't matter. We know how that turned out. But they going back 2 years ago, Milwaukee wasn't great in the beginning of that COVID year with nobody in the stands. Like, they played a morning game out here on the West Coast. Kind of a forgettable outcome in that one. But, yeah, they beat the Rockets on Christmas, and then obviously they've had the Lakers and the LeBrons.
People call the best Christmas games of all time. It's funny how anything that the NBA world calls the best of all time normally includes the Warriors losing. You want to talk about rent-free? And don't worry, we got something for the Grizzlies media a little later today talking about, the Warriors are weird for this and that. I have a lot of things to say about that. But going back to the Warriors and what they did last night, I think that's what gives me cause to pause, JD, because we've seen them dial it up, and it does not, is this going to carry over, with your cell phone minutes? Is there any rollover? There hasn't seemed to be any rollover with the Warriors in these one-off victories where they play extremely well and then they just don't match that intensity the next couple games. So that's what I'm excited to see, to see if the Warriors can continue to dig deep and go into this well and bring out more W's, because they need them. This is not about what we want to see from them or I'd like to see this. Like, we're going to talk about the Niners later. I want to see Brock Purdy in adversity, but you might not need to. The Warriors, need these W's.
You may want to see Brock Purdy in adversity, but I'll tell you what, you don't want to see Brock Purdy in adversity in your first playoff game in the second quarter.
No, definitely not.
Because that might be your season being over.
Exactly. So if you want to see it,
you were going to maybe want to already see it a little bit.
Maybe the Raiders can give them a little something. Give them a little something. So I want to see what the Warriors do during this homestand, because this isn't a matter of, all right, let's see how they react. They legitimately need these W's. They're at that point now where I think everybody can start to stop talking about how early it is in the season. You can't get, you know, you can't get into too deep of a hole, specifically without Steph and without Andrew Wiggins. You don't know when Steph is coming back. We're not even really sure when Andrew Wiggins is coming back. And you can't come back. We talk about going into the well and flipping that switch. Last year, they only had to flip the switch for what? Just the duration of the playoffs, really. They timed it a bit perfectly. It wasn't on purpose. It was due to injury.
Well, they had a pretty good switch going at the beginning of the season.
At the beginning, I'm saying they sputtered a bit towards the end. Draymond was out, and then Steph was out, yeah. And then everything came together. Okay, let's just mount up and get through the playoffs. But if you've had to mount up since March, right, or February, that's not the same thing. And I don't know if they're going to be able to play at that level from February through the playoffs. And everybody can say what they want about the numbers and the core. We understand that there is just a level of you got to play at that playoff level for a longer period of time, the deeper hole that you find yourself in early in the season.
Well, and you said it. It's just a massive, massive win in terms of the standings, because mm-hmm. these games right now, I think, are going to go a long way toward determining how the Warriors season ends up. And whether that's, you know, you can play well and you can say the young players played well. And I think it really was the first time. I think as far as the young players go, I was thinking about this last night during the game. Mm-hmm. I think the Warriors envisioned this season as far as the young players a lot like last night. Like, right. I think they thought from the beginning Wiseman would be able to at least play a productive shift mm-hmm. every game. Right? Or right. In most games. Like, there are going to be games restricted, but not play so poorly so regularly that he has to get pulled from the rotation and then sent down. Like, yes. I think they thought they could get more games like last night from Wiseman that help him win. Yes, maybe there's still some ups and downs, but there are some positives. There's mm-hmm. just been so few positives when Wiseman's been on the floor. This is two good games in a row. I think last night more impactful, more important. But I think when you look at the lottery picks, because I think that's really what we're talking about here, Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody, I think the Warriors thought they could get 17 minutes out of Moses Moody that were solid like they were last night, and they could get 16, 17 minutes out of Kuminga. Like, I think that was on the develop and the two timelines. Mm-hmm. That's what the development ideally would look like. And again, yeah. It's not going to be like that every night, but it hasn't been like last night any night.
No.
And I think that's where, you know, I think there is a little bit of cause for some optimism mm-hmm. moving forward with that. But at the same time, it's the first time it's happened. So if it's, you know, 33 games into the year now, 34 games into the year, you start to wonder, well, how often can it really happen if it's happened once in 34 games?
Right.
But I do think that's where we talked yesterday about the miscalculation mm-hmm. that the Warriors had as far as believing that the young players could be in the rotation and develop and learn and help them win.
Right.
I think last night was sort of the template of that. We finally saw it in maybe the biggest bright lights game they've had to this point, if not this game, the game against Boston.
Yeah, and if you want to try to pull positives out of the negatives, maybe the fact that they have been getting a lot more run recently because of injury some, because of not being in games as well, but maybe they're starting to get more comfortable. The Moses Moody thing, I've been confused about the whole season. Whenever I've seen him play, he looks to me like he can be in the rotation and put up some decent numbers. That corner three, he really strikes me as that 3-and-D guy who, when all else fails and you're moving the ball around, you can't guard everybody, so you end up having to leave Moses Moody in the corner, and he's really good at hitting those threes. So I'm the least surprised from Moses Moody. He had that really nice up-and-under layup. I've seen flashes from him, and maybe whatever's been happening in practice, Steve Kerr hasn't loved. Maybe that's why he hasn't been on the court so much, but really excited about Moses Moody. I think we all have been, and I know, you know, I don't know what he's going to be. I know the question has been about his ceiling, but I think even based on his ceiling not being the highest, he still has always seemed like the guy that has been the most ready to go right now, which was always what was so confusing about him not getting that much playing time this season. James Wiseman, you know, I think as this goes, as we move forward, our expectations are going to gradually change. Not in a terrible way, but we're going to stop expecting him to just one day be, you know, the next great big in the league and just understand that this is a gradual process. I like what I'm seeing from Kuminga on the defensive end. I got to say, JD, and again, not trying to be negative, Kuminga offensively worries me because he doesn't really have an identity. I call him Baby Giannis in that he's got that type of game, but he isn't as big as Giannis. Giannis doesn't even have a bag, as the kids say, and Kuminga doesn't even have the Giannis bag. He's turning the ball over a lot when he dribbles.
Doesn't have a good handle. He doesn't have a good shot.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, where he's at his best typically is when plays are made for him, mm-hmm. and he can catch it and go up by the basket,
yeah.
and for a dunk, or in transition for a dunk, or, and we saw a little of this last night, when he gets it on the elbow or in the short post where he can kind of face and maybe fake and just put his head down and drive and get fouled.
Yes.
And get to the free throw line that way, or score inside that way. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the problem with Kuminga offensively is Kuminga believes he's got a lot more in the bag than he really has.
I think at times
he plays like it. Like,
yeah.
I've joked about this, and I'll bring it out here at 2:20 on a Monday. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's got a little, like he really does. Like,
yeah.
he thinks he is a guy that can just, you know, go at somebody on the mm-hmm. perimeter and take him to the basket, or he always wants to shoot that three anytime yeah. he's open. There are some shots I think the Warriors have told him take. I think there's some threes they've told him not to take. You can tell almost every time he gets the ball wide open on the perimeter, he wants to shoot it. And it's like he's thinking, wait, is this the one they want me to shoot, or is this not the one they want me to shoot?
Right.
Where's the shot clock?
Yeah.
Was it off the second pass? Like, it's like he's trying to go through all the calculations.
And there's a lot to process. And look, there's a bit of pride as well, JD. We know Kuminga, he seems like a prideful guy and just a confident guy. I wouldn't use the word cocky, but just confident in that he believes he can do whatever he needs to do. He believes that he can get to the basket. And I think he was one of those guys in the G League putting up just astronomical numbers. Well, this ain't the G League, my guy, you know, so he's got to realize that. And there is a pride piece of this. Look, JD, I tell you, you know, I know Steiny was just on. I never got to hoop with Steiny, but I still hoop now. I know Goo said I need to hoop with him. That hasn't happened yet. So Goo hit me so we can hoop together. There, look, I'm a slasher. I don't really shoot like that. And when there are people that are just not really guarding you, there's a bit of pride where you say, you know what? This might not be the best shot, but dang it, I'm not going to let you just disrespect me and be 5 feet away from me. I'm putting it up. And you put it up, and if it goes in, you're talking trash. And if it doesn't go in, you then think to yourself, yeah, that's what they wanted me to do, and I fell right into it. And I think Kuminga at times is falling into it because, you know, he's thinking, look, I practiced this shot. Just like Patrick Ewing asked his team, do you practice that shot? We watched Kuminga practicing his threes. We watch him doing a lot of these different things, and he can't hit it. So when somebody is guarding you, you know, 3 feet away, just daring you to shoot, there, especially when you're young, right? You're thinking, I'm not going to let you disrespect me. I can make this shot. And then Steve Kerr gets upset with them, I would assume, when he doesn't make it.
All right, he's Alan Stiles. I'm John Dickinson. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. How you feeling about this Warriors homestand now? Is what they put out there last night something that can be sustained over the next 7 games? Because the Warriors have Charlotte coming in, Utah and Portland, Atlanta's coming in, Detroit and Orlando are coming in, as well as Phoenix here over the next 2 weeks before the Warriors head back out on the road. And all of these games are going to be without Stephen Curry as he continues to rehab and attempt to return from this shoulder injury. Optimism surrounding the young players, and just kind of how you feeling about things. Is it a one-off? Did they dial it up because last night was a bright lights game? Mm-hmm. You know, that you could make the case that their two best games of the season have been games where coming into it, it feels like, oh, the finals are here for a night. Oh, the Western Conference semifinals are here for tonight, mm-hmm. with Memphis, and they've gotten a higher level of performance from everybody in that. you know, can you call that up against the Charlottes and the Detroits and the Orlandos? Because those games are just as important as the game that they were able to win last night. And really, again, you don't want to get 5, 6, 8, 9 games under 500 when Steph Curry comes back. At that point, it's a lot more difficult to play well throughout half a season just to get back to 500 and try and make some noise. So, is it more of a one-off in your mind, I think, tonight is the question, or last night, or is it something that can lead to something down the line? I think the biggest positive takeaway moving forward is, hey, young guys had a little bit of action last night collectively, mm-hmm. which is something that we hadn't seen to this point.
Exactly. And I think ultimately, we all know that the Warriors can get to it. We've seen it multiple times. It almost reminds me of a high school team, JD. You know those high school teams? Oh, we played down to our competition, but the coach knows you guys are better than this, but you gotta, and I'm not gonna use any local high school names. Sure. I don't want to upset anybody, but you gotta play the same way you play for this team than you do for the others, and that's what it seems to be with the Warriors.
They play up at home.
And play up at home. It's exactly
they play up at home.
It's exactly what a high school team does.
They don't play up on the road, but they do play up at home. I think that also is maybe a statement about the youth and the inexperience. For as much as they do have the championship core, mm-hmm. the rest of the guys, they don't have it.
Exactly. Real quick on the Xfinity Mobile text line.
You getting to the one about you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 510, Allen Styles needs to eat crow. He gave the Warriors no shot to win last night. We got to run the tape, Cam. We got to run the tape. I never said I gave the Warriors no shot. Did I say I would bet on them? Of course, I did not say I'd bet on them. But what I said was, at the end of the day, the Warriors have two Hall of Famers that are starting in Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So they're always going to have a shot. Was I confident? Absolutely not. So I don't know, 510. I don't know if I got to eat any crow, all right?
All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I think you gave him less of a shot than I did, but But I'm not claiming I gave him really I wasn't saying, hey, they're going to win tonight.
Exactly.
But there were things we didn't know. Just the home record. Like, I went into last night thinking, yeah, the home thing is something, but that's been all with Steph. Mm-hmm. So with Steph out, does that change? And last night, it didn't. So that makes me, all right, I'm going to be more apt to think, all right, maybe they do have some action here moving forward in some of these other games. All right, we'll pause here. 888-957-9570. Xfinity Mobile text line is open. We'll get to phone calls on the other side, as this segment has been sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services and CalHope.org.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Alan Stiles in for Damon and Ratto. Expanded show here today from 2 until 6. The holiday going on here. 888-957-9570. Let's get to the phones. What do you say, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Harsha? Let's get to Harsha in Fremont here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. What's up? First of all, I just wanted to say that, you know, I saw a stat that said the Warriors starting five when it comes to offensive rating is the best in the league, right? So we know from a starting five perspective, we're not, you know, the world isn't ending. But I think this year we got a lot of shakiness in that with Klay not playing back-to-back. We got Andrew Wiggins felt like he hasn't played in 2 months, and now we have the Steph situation. So going into last night, felt a little nervous, but, you know, I just got to say I hate the Grizzlies. They do so much talking, and I think Klay set the tone early, even though it's 2-for-10 in the first half. I think he got a couple really tough boards. So it felt good, and that win felt really good. And, man, I hate Dylan Brooks, and that's all I have to say.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, that is something that hangs over the entire win, was how much the Warriors enjoyed it and how much the Warrior fans enjoyed it. You could feel that from being in the building.
Yes.
There's no doubt. And watching on TV or listening to it or whatever your preferred way to take in the game was.
Yeah, and I think what was exciting about the win and exciting about the game is that this is what basketball is all about. This is what the NBA is all about. And win or lose, I know it feels a lot better when you win, but it's nice to have these feelings, JD. And the Western Conference, they do provide something that, I mean, I don't know if the East even really has any rivalries, not like this. I mean, this is the number one rivalry in the NBA. You had Ja Morant and Draymond talking about it from months ago, I believe, in the summer. The NBA comes through. They make it happen. There's no Steph. And, it, you know, luckily for Warriors fans, Jordan Poole and the rest of the squad was up to the task. And Dylan Brooks, a shout-out, Brian Iglesias made up the nickname Villain Brooks because that's what he is to Warriors fans. Dylan Brooks, he is the one that was talking before the game, and what did he say? He said, yeah, it stinks that Steph is out, but I like the matchup with Klay. He was doing a lot of talking. I'm going to show him the type of defender I am. He says all that. At the beginning of the game, before the Warriors started to pull away, he was chirping at the bench. There was a lot of chirping going back and forth either way. I'm good with all that. I love it. I love all of that. But then you go in the post-conference, right, the post-press conference, post-game press conference, and you're in that thing, and you're talking about the refs allowed them to do it all night. Come on, dude. Like, we're all supposed to be on the same page. Either if it's up, then it's up. That's what somebody said on Twitter. Is it up or not? Because sometimes you want to be about that life, but then after you're talking about the refs, do you want the smoke or do you not? And it seems like the Grizzlies, they are the little brother that when you hit them, they run and they go tell mommy, even though they started it with you. And it's crazy to me, JD, that this whole thing started, if you remember, and I have to remind myself, this whole thing goes back to Andre Iguodala not wanting to play for the Grizzlies. I have to remind myself about the origin of this rivalry every single time it comes up. And the last thing I'll say is this. So we've addressed Dylan Brooks. We've addressed the fact that if you're going to talk smack, and I will say at least Ja Morant, he talks smack, but he's the same no matter what. Dylan Brooks, if you want to have one type of energy during the game, before the game, have the same after it. You know, I really did like what Devin Booker, when he got into it with Klay. Devin Booker handled that whole situation perfect. We don't know what Klay said, but Devin Booker just said, look, this is what it is. And the last thing I'll say is this. So I'm really getting sick of the Memphis media trying to create this narrative that the Warriors have this weird obsession with the Grizzlies and that the Grizzlies live rent free. Last time I checked, when somebody
who's doing this, by the way, are these team employee media?
This is not.
I mean, there is a difference.
Her name is, I think, KJ Wright.
Okay, she's a team employee.
So they're going around. So she posts last night. This is very weird. Right. And it was Clay's video just talking about the trash talk and how, you know, they brought up the dynasty and all these types of things. So, but this has been going on since last year where it's the whole rent free thing. Let me ask you this to anybody listening. If you're listening from Memphis, because you know they listen, JD, let me ask you this. What would the Warriors need to be jealous of the Grizzlies about? What? What do the Grizzlies have that the Warriors want? Why would the Grizzlies live rent-free in the Warriors' head? Why would the Grizzlies be such a big deal to the Warriors when you're the one that has the Draymond quote in your locker room?
Well, look, I think part of it is just, I think for the Warriors, and I think it's the Grizzlies are the ones that are fixated on the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I'll say that first of all, and we'll get to the Clay quote. We'll get to Dylan Brooks quote as well. I mean, look, if a team employed reporter is talking about like who cares? Like, let's be honest. Like, and I've met KJ Wright when I mm-hmm. covered that series mm-hmm. in the playoffs last year. Very nice. Very normal.
I get
she knows the game. I think she was a hooper in her time as well.
But maybe they just want clicks. Maybe I'm falling for it. Maybe they just want clicks.
They're also, I mean, look, part of their job is to create energy surrounding their team.
Yeah.
I mean, the Grizzlies hadn't played a game on Christmas in their franchise history.
I know.
Like, that was a big game for them. Like, they've been to a conference finals, but it's been a while. It was 2012 or 13, whatever they played Oklahoma City, I guess, when Oklahoma City won. But anyway, regardless of all of that, I mean, it is the Grizzlies who are fixated on the Warriors. The Warriors have accepted it. The Warriors but I think the Warriors have accepted it because they do feel challenged by the Grizzlies.
No, I agree, but I'm saying why...
And they're looking for challenges. Warriors, I think, half the time are bored.
No, I know.
In the regular season especially.
I agree, but why can't we just leave it at this is fun? And I get it. Maybe I'm just getting too caught up.
It is fun.
But why does
I agree.
But even when the Warriors lost to the... To the Grizzlies in the play-in a couple years ago. There's nobody, and then the Grizzlies were chirping. There's nobody out there. Oh my gosh, the Grizzlies are obsessed with the Warriors. It's just a lazy take to me, and it just reminds me. It's very much, and I'm not gonna do it based on age or whatever, but it's just very much just like, I don't have a better comeback, so you guys are just obsessed with me. I don't have a better comeback, so whatever. You don't have anything to say. It reminds me, JD, because, you know, I talked to my guy Sterling in the back producing along with Cam when we talk about the Avengers, when the Scarlet Witch rolls up to Thanos and she's like, you took everything from me. And Thanos goes, I don't even know who you are. It's the same thing to me.
Well, the Warriors know who they
know,
are.
I know.
The Warriors know who they are. And Clay addressed that. I mean, Clay specifically addressed it on ABC after the game and the post-game interview. I mean, Clay said flat out, you can't talk about a dynasty when you haven't won before. I thought that was premature talk.
Yeah.
And he said, and I mean, we have that cut. We can play the full clip of it here momentarily, but it's pretty simple. I mean, it's the fact that, I mean, he acknowledged why, but he also said in the clip that he respected him.
Right.
He may didn't like him, but he respected him. And I do think there's a mutual respect, even if it's heated on the floor.
And again,
the Grizzlies are looking at the Warriors as the kings of the mountain, defending champs, multiple time champs.
Yeah.
And I think the Grizzlies see themselves prematurely, yes, but I think the Grizzlies see themselves as the young up and comers mm-hmm. that have a shot to be 10 years from now a team that's won multiple championships. That to me is where it comes from.
No, I know.
I don't think it comes from a disrespect of what the Warriors have accomplished. I think they feel like they are the next one. We've seen a lot of the next ones get turned away by the Warriors and never do it.
Exactly.
So we'll see.
Exactly.
And when you write checks with your mouth that your play can't cash, then you got problems.
I agree.
And so
I agree.
We'll see.
You know, all I'm saying is just... I understand competition. You talk about, okay, you played, if you played collegiately, if you played in high school, there are rivalries. And that's just where it ends. There's no, we're living rent-free. How about this? They live rent-free in each, I would even say they live rent-free in each other's heads because it's a rivalry and that's good, right? That's it. That's where it ends.
949 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. JD is the Dylan Brooks at 95.7. Controversial and loves being the villain. A little Dylan Brooks to me.
You think so?
There's a little Dylan Brooks to me.
All right.
Those who know me would tell me there's a little Dylan Brooks in me. There was a little Dylan Brooks in my game, to be honest, back in the day. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say controversial, but but I do like to mix it up and have.
Yeah.
I have a lot more of an edge than sometimes people think.
There you go.
But let's go ahead and play that Klay Thompson cut from the post game interview on ABC and ESPN.
What message did you want to send tonight?
Man, they were talking about dynasty and all that. You can't talk dynasty when you haven't won before. I don't think people realize how hard that is, the commitment and sacrifice it takes. I mean, you got to sacrifice your body. And I thought that was premature talk, you know, to even mention that word. But they bring the best out of us, and I think we do the same. And even though you don't like them, you got to respect them because they're a threat.
So there you go. The last part to me is the most important part.
Right.
None got to like them. We respect them. They're a threat. So clearly,
yeah.
I mean, the Warriors, and I think this goes back to the playoff series, they knew that they were in trouble in that series.
No,
and we're going to have to find a level to beat them, and they did, and, you know, Ja was out. Whatever. I mean, that happened. I mean, they were threatened even with Ja out in that series.
Yeah, well, they had a ridiculous record with Ja out during the regular season. But I'm good with all that, and I understand that these teams, there's showmanship involved. We love all of it. That's why why Dylan Brooks, why are you in the post-game press conference? Why are you saying the refs let it happen? You're supposed to embrace this. You're supposed to be the dog. You're supposed to be the Draymond Green of the Grizzlies. So don't run to the refs after the game talking about everybody was talking trash. Everybody was talking trash.
650, Dylan Brooks is a downgraded version of Matt Barnes. Dylan Brooks is a ton better player than Matt Barnes.
A ton?
Yes. He is twice the player that Matt Barnes was, for sure. They both have that same... Yeah, Dylan Brooks is a better player than Matt Barnes.
No, I would agree.
I just didn't know. We don't have to get down that road.
Right.
They both have the tough guy thing going.
Right, right.
And that's fine. But, like, Dylan Brooks is a better player than Matt Barnes.
From a skill perspective. You gotta watch it out here. You know, Matt Barnes, he's a legend out here.
I go way back with Matt Barnes. I go way back. Mike in San Francisco, 888-957-9570. What's up, Mike?
Up, guys, being at the game, very impressive performance there. I've never seen that side of Klay. It only comes out when he plays specifically Memphis and Dylan Brooks, man. And he brought that place a roar when he hit that dagger and Brooks was on the floor and he was right next to him just looking out and he got teed up. That place went nuts. So we know the Warriors have this in them. Jordan Poole has shown he can take over games. Klay, I know he's been inconsistent, but we can show that the bench, that was key. If they can get that with the soul under man right now without Wiggins and Curry, if you can get guys like Tiger Rome and Lamb to give you somewhat near that type of performance, I think they're going to hold their head above water, especially at Chase. But what is the thing that's lacking in terms of, have you seen a team that's this good, that's a championship performing team that's so lacking on the road as they are at home? Because we at home, I think they're going to do well. I expect them probably to win 6 to 7 games on the stand, and I think they're going to perform pretty well for the most part and be one of the best home records in the league. But road record is the thing that's mind-boggling. Do you think they can get this turned around? And what is the mentality that happens to this team when they go on the road, being a team that's that great and it's not a team that's, you know, trying to win, or a young team of rookies on the come up? What's your opinion on that? Thanks for the time, fellas.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call. As far as the road, I think a lot of it is role players. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at the beginning of the year, the core players coasted. on the road
right.
and got themselves in some games where, oh, tie game, 5 minutes left against a bad team, and then you didn't win. And we're used to seeing the Warriors always win those games, Orlando, Detroit, Charlotte. There were a bunch of those games on that first trip. Sacramento, before Sacramento made their run. I think it was actually maybe even in the midst of the Kings winning streak. But at that point, you know, the Kings were better than those other teams that I just mentioned. But you got in a lot of these 50-50 games on the road, and you didn't win any of them, which was the first part of the problem. The other part is I just think role players don't play as well on the road, and the Warriors have a lot of the championship guys were coasting, and the role players just don't play well enough. And I think young players, you know, veteran role players sometimes don't. Young role players really don't, and they're searching for minutes from all of these guys, and they just on a lot of nights aren't getting it. There were nights where the starters played great and the bench guys would just completely give it up. Mm-hmm. There were nights where the starters would coast, and that might be a night where a couple of guys off the bench would play well, but
yeah.
Then you're in a tie game late and you don't win it, and then it kind of snowballed on them. And then when you're shorthanded on top of that, it becomes even more difficult. And they played some hot teams on this road trip with Philly and the Knicks and the Nets, too.
Well, we knew this was going to be a tough road trip. We knew this was going to be a gauntlet of teams with the Knicks, how they've been playing. There were no breaks. There were no breaks, and the Warriors had to, you know, try their best to power through. And, you know, the role players, to me, it's not even that that much is being asked of them, JD. I mean, I think more is being asked of them than maybe they expected, or maybe the coaching staff had hoped at the beginning. I think the bottom line is just there's just not as much room for error on this team. You cannot be whatever that 100% version of the Warriors, whatever that 100% of the Warriors team is, they got to be close to about 80% to win games. And maybe in years past, you could win because of the talent you had, you could win at 65%. You could win at 70%. Warriors playing 70% out of the 100% of their best basketball, it's not going to win as many games as it has in the past. And I think that's a big part of it,
too. Well, I relate it also back to the young players when I look at it. Mm-hmm. Because to me, for the young players to perform at the level that they did last night, mm-hmm. the foundation has to be set by the veteran players either playing well or playing extremely hard.
Right.
And everybody among the veteran group has to be in their specific role and place to help the young players have the best chance to be more consistent. And I think the Warriors have not had that consistently enough, which has also impacted the young players. It all comes back to what you're saying about margin for error. I think that's absolutely true,
yeah.
Which leads down the path of, do they need to go get somebody at some point? I still think they probably do, just to be safe, a bench player. But, you know, last night is the kind of night that makes you wonder, right? Because they're able to win that game, and it at least makes you wonder. I still think they do. I think it's nights like last night, I think, are the exception and not the rule.
I would agree, and that is not, you know, that is not to upset anybody, right? That's just the truth. I mean, they shot 41% from three. Okay, again, can you really count on Ty Jerome giving you 14, right? Can you count on Moody giving you 10? Can you count on Anthony Lamb giving you 11? Can you count on Ty Jerome giving you 10 in one quarter?
Can you,
no.
Well, can you count on Wiseman playing defense like he did last night? Can you count on Kuminga bringing energy every night? No.
And on the Grizzlies side of things, Desmond Bane, only his second game back. He was way off. He was 2 for 13.
They were at the end of the trip, too. I mean, you
right.
could make
0 for 7.
You're not going to like this one.
Okay.
I'm going to throw it at you, but it's a thought I had. Mm-hmm. And not something necessarily worth bringing up, but it popped into my head as it's something I wrote down. Grizzlies, I think this game, to be honest, lost some juice for the Grizzlies when Steph was going to be out.
Mm.
Like
I don't know.
It had a little bit of the tone of, and look, the Grizzlies should not, no team, I hate it when teams do this, mm-hmm. when they, you know, on the road, they kind of play down. Like, the Grizzlies played down last night, you could say.
I mean.
Because coming in, like, I don't care what you think of the Warriors as champions and all of that. Like, last night, just the guys that were playing for the Warriors last night, the guys that were playing for the Grizzlies last night, the Grizzlies were the better team coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies should win that game. Like, if the Grizzlies play well, the Warriors play, the Grizzlies should win that game last night. And I think they had a little bit. Again, I'm not making excuses for the Grizzlies, but I do think they had a little bit of, you know what, this game doesn't have the juice because Steph's not playing. Like, I think they thought they could come in and not play an A game or even a B game and still win the game.
Right.
But and they found, and like they treated it as if they were going in and playing the Pistons.
Sure.
Or they were going in and playing San Antonio. And you know,
I don't know about that.
Do that at your own peril. Well, they played like it.
I don't know about
that.
They
played like it.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree that maybe they felt that they could roll the ball out without Steph and take care
again,
of business.
You don't get credit for that. But I think, again, it plays to their whole thing of kind of thinking they're a little higher on the totem pole than they really are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like that they've kind of arrived in a sense. And look, you see teams do it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just you watch the league on a night in, night out basis. Teams do that all the time. And I think they thought, yeah, we're better than these guys. No Steph, no Wiggins. I mean, how important was Wiggins in that playoff series last year? What, end of a trip, maybe they don't have it. Warriors are bringing some intensity that was at a different level, and they just weren't playing well, and they thought, yeah, we'll get back. Like, it kind of felt like they thought that they were going to win the game anyway, the whole game, and they got to 80 to 77 late in the third.
I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get a little nervous here.
And at that point, the Warriors had played great, and the Grizzlies had played pretty terribly, and it was a 3-point game. And then Ty Jerome went off, and the Warriors really never looked back at that point, even though Poole got ejected and all of that. Go ahead. I want to get to the Dylan Brooks quote post-game as well.
I do agree that maybe that it did lose juice. The reasons I agree with it for certain reasons. The reason I disagree with it is only because it was their first Christmas game. You know, this is the biggest stage. Did they think that they needed to play their A game? No, but I do believe that they did want to show the Warriors, hey, this is an opportunity for us to put a stranglehold on the Warriors and show everybody that we're coming, and they were unable to do that. So I hear what you're saying from just the mental aspect, but I think once they got out there, they wanted to put on a show. And here's the thing. Even with that being said, JD, there were times where the Warriors were shooting over 50% from three. The Grizzlies couldn't hit anything, and the Grizzlies were down six. And to your point, are you banking on, if the Grizzlies are thinking, well, if you don't, if Anthony Lamb doesn't go 3-for-4 from 3-point land and Ty Jerome doesn't drop 14 out of nowhere, we win that game. Now, it doesn't matter because they did and you didn't, but, you know, it is what it is. The Warriors, I assume, are going to, you know, have to see him again out in Memphis, and it's going to be a time.
Yeah, no question. 510, no excuses for the Grizzlies. This is on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Steph and Wiggins were out. The Warriors were a two-way player away from a G League team at some points last night. So, yeah, no, I'm not making an excuse for the Grizzlies.
Sure.
Like, at all. I'm just saying that might have been part of the mentality for the Grizzlies once that game got rolling. It's not an excuse. In fact, it's actually a bigger joke.
Right. Right. Once it got going.
If you think that a game like that is beneath you, or you can just, you know, we talk about a team coasting. If the Grizzlies came in last night thinking they could coast, then they got what was coming to them. That's more what I'm getting at.
And they had the whole, you know, they came in with the music, and they're just they're doing their dance moves. They actually play each other three more times, JD.
Yeah.
End of January, again at Chase Center, then two times in Memphis, both in March. So this is far from over.
No, it's a lot of fun, and you know, we'll see. I know Steve Kerr says he doesn't believe it's a true rivalry until you get multiple playoff series in between a team. I think this is probably as close as it can get. I mean, there's also, and I think this goes back to what you were talking about with, I think Kelsey Wright Johnson's her name. She goes by KJ Wright on Twitter, team reporter for the Grizzlies, and this whole thing. There is a small market, big market component to this.
That's true.
You know, the Grizzlies, that's a small market team. It's a franchise that hasn't had a lot of success on the high end. It's, you know, it's one of the newer franchises still, right? The Grizzlies came in 2000, or I'm sorry, they came in 95, but moved to Memphis in 2000. So they've been around, I think 2001. So they've been around like 22 years, somewhere in that range. So they're a relatively new franchise, small market, big market championship. I likened it to growing up in Sacramento, the Kings and the Lakers, when the Kings were the young up-and-coming team with Weber, and eventually, you know, it was Jason Williams, and then it was Bibby and Stojakovic and that group, Vlade. And they were the squad that, you know, looked at the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq and the team that had won a couple of championships and the big market you know, LA wins all the championships, and they were, you know, they were the ones always trying to, you know, pick at the Lakers, and the right. Lakers would always come back, kind of like Clay came back at him. Remember, Shaq called him the Queens at one point. He said they were a play away from being, you know, expansionism.
Yeah, you know,
going back to expansionism.
Right.
When Weber got hurt, or if Weber left at that point when he was going to be a free agent, like there were all kinds of, you know, derogatory back and forth. Rick Fox and Doug Christie got into a fight in a preseason game.
Yeah,
they got into a fight in a preseason game down at then Staples Center, you know, after they had met in the conference finals. So there's a little bit of the small market, big market component to, you know, oh, this is weird. Look at the weird.
Yeah,
you know,
why are you worried about little old us?
But I think it's fun. I think it's fun though. That, and look, that place was absolutely electric. I was at all three games of that in Memphis in the playoffs. It was a tremendous atmosphere. The people there were great. They were having a good time. It was all in good fun, frankly.
Right.
But, you know, I think the Warriors definitely have the Grizzlies on their radar. There's no doubt. But the Grizzlies do have a fixation, is how we'll put it. 888-957-9570. We got 1 hour down. We got 3 hours to go. Michael Irvin is going to join us coming up here on 95.7 The Game. That is at 5 o'clock. We'll talk some football as well between now and 6 as we are presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.